again. It's your brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and glad to be back with you. We got cut short on our last one, if you remember. Sitting here talking about the fear of the Lord, and the devil knocked the lights out and knocked all the electricity out and made us stop. But we was already about 7/8 through our lesson, so it didn't turn out too bad. The only thing we just had to close a little different, didn't we? But that's to be expected when you get around God's Word and you get serious about studying God's Word. Thank you for joining again and coming in and honoring our Lord and honoring His Word. It is worthy. God's Word is worthy to be honored. And the Lord Himself, of course and absolutely, is worthy to be honored. And we do honor Him, don't we? So getting back into our lesson, just to recap just a little bit, we're talking about fear of the Lord. Our study is entitled Fear and Fear of the Lord. Well, we've been over the topic of fear and defined it and went over some categories, if you will, truths from the Word of God concerning fear itself. And today we're going to continue in our study. Our last one was the beginning of this portion of fear of the Lord. And we began scripturally defining the fear of the Lord and what the scriptures actually have to say in definition. If you were to ask the Word of God, what is fear of the Lord? Well, that's what we're describing. That's what we're allowing God's Word to teach us right now, is what is fear of the Lord. The first thing that we talked about was that it is hating the things that God hates. Remember that? It also, it provides one life and protection needed to escape from what would kill him and rather be victorious. We've seen scripture on that concerning fear of the Lord and it being illustrated or defined in the scriptures. The third thing that we talked about concerning scripturally defining the fear of the Lord was that it is not and does not yield to uncleanness. Fear of the Lord does not yield to uncleanness. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. One thing that you can count on being clean every time you come to it is God's Word and the fear of the Lord. One way you can tell that somebody is exemplifying or somebody is exercising the fear of the Lord, or that the fear of the Lord is in somebody, is because there'll be a lack of uncleanness. There will be clean there. The fear of the Lord is clean. And it will clean you up. It will clean you up. And it does, doesn't it? It does. The fear of the Lord does clean us up. It causes us to be clean and causes uncleanness to leave us. The Bible says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The fear of the Lord, a definition of fear of the Lord, is that it doesn't yield to uncleanness. If you are fearing God, you are not yielding. Now, I didn't say you wasn't battling sin. I said that you wasn't yielding to uncleanness. You wasn't given over to it. You wasn't given over to it. Another definition that we talked about was that it's where one begins to enter into knowledge and wisdom. I think that's when the devil started getting mad at us right about there. excuse me. We started talking about his crowd and all this science and all this knowledge and all this education. Education's become one of America's gods, one of the world's gods, as a matter of fact, education. And they seem to think that their sort of education that they're talking about, this Darwinism and this atheism and this ismism and ism that and ism this and ism that, all this sort of business and this knowledge, this world worldly knowledge, the scripture calls it. They seem to think that it's something special. And the Bible says it's nonsense and that God doesn't respect it one bit. The fear of the Lord is where one begins to enter into knowledge and wisdom. If somebody doesn't fear God, or if a seminary or a college or all these different educational outfits and all these things that are supposed to teach knowledge and this great knowledge and NASA and all these other places, your scientists and all these others and everybody that's supposed to have done such magnificent things in the world and for the world and this magnificent knowledge that we're getting from the rocks, from the moon, and from all these genes and all this mixing up animal stuff with human stuff and making monsters and all this sort of business. If it doesn't start with fear of the Lord, it's a lie. And it's nonsense, and it's dangerous, and it's no good in God's eyes. It's no good. It's no good. The next thing that we talked about was that it helps one to avoid bad consequences. What are we doing? We're defining fear of the Lord. One definition of fear of the Lord is that it helps one avoid bad consequences. You want to stay out of trouble? Fear God. Fear God. You want to avoid bad consequences? Bad things that just might happen to you? Can you imagine that if God wasn't in our lives, how many more bad things might have come about in our lives if God wasn't with us and that the fear of the Lord wasn't in our lives? Can you imagine? With the world, way the world is now, and you got 11 and 10-year-olds getting pregnant and having abortions. My, oh my, oh my, oh my. The fear of the Lord wouldn't have allowed that, you see. The fear of the Lord would not have allowed that. You got men on these videos and out there putting their children up and sacrificing their children unto devils, claiming that it's okay for their girls to be boys and their boys to be girls, and flipping the finger and mocking everybody on videos, saying and backing their children up about imagining and lying and deceiving themselves that they're something that they're not. Bad consequences. You know why? Because there's no fear of God. There's no fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord helps one to avoid bad consequences. You know, all these people that are doing that to their children and sacrificing their children to devils and the things of the devilish things and ungodly and unclean things like that and lying to them and supporting these lies, their kids are going to grow up wanting to kill them. They're going to hate their stinking guts when they grow up. They're going to hate everything. Everything. Hate everything. Mom and Daddy told me I was a girl, and I'm really a boy, but I don't know whether I'm a boy or I'm a girl. I'm all mixed up. I think I just blow somebody's brains out. And you don't think that mess happens? You don't think they think that? You better think again. But the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord helps people avoid bad consequences because you know the truth, and the truth makes you free. You don't believe in nonsense like that. You don't believe it because it's not true. We know it's not true by common sense, and we know it's not true by God's sense and the Word of God's sense. You see that? You see that thing? All right. The next thing was, and the last thing that we were talking about before we got cut off, was that it causes one's enemies to respect and leave them alone. And I'm glad of that, ain't you? I'm glad God takes up for me. Ain't you glad He takes up for you? The fear of the Lord, just the fear of the Lord being in your life and around you, causes your enemies to respect you, whether they show it or not. They respect you, and most of the time, they'll avoid you and leave you alone. Whereas some other time, they might have, without the fear of the Lord being there. The fear of the Lord protects us, folks. It causes one's enemies to respect and leave one alone. It does. We've seen that in the scriptures, and that's where we got cut off. So today we're going to continue in these defining fear of the Lord. And here's the next one. Well, the fear of the Lord, it causes a land's justice system to be right and fair. Yeah. Isn't that refreshing? The fear of the Lord causes a land's, a people, a land, causes a land's justice system to be right and fair. Right and fair. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 5 through 9, listen to this. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Well, that would be a lesson in itself, just those three things right there, cut out of the government and get rid of the deficit, wouldn't it? My, oh my. Let be upon you, take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of person, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and the priests, and of the chief of the fathers of Israel, for the judgment of the Lord, and for controversies, when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. One definition of fear of the Lord is that it causes a land's justice system to be right and fair. Because the people fear God. The commanders, the people that are in charge, fear God. And they know how God executes judgment and how it should be executed. And they do it fairly. And they don't take gifts. And they don't respect people over people. They call it right and wrong, left and right, up and down, black and white, north and south. There's polarities. Right and wrong. Justice. True justice. Fair justice. It causes the justice system to be right and fair. Yeah, you can eliminate all these problems in the United States with the justice system overnight. If you had people, nine people in the Supreme Court and in the Senate and in the Congress and in the House, and you had people that feared the Lord. If they feared the Lord, they might have disagreements, but it would be righteous disagreements, and it would be disagreements that led to justice and right and wrong. Fear of the Lord. The reason you have all these problems that you have is because there's no fear of God in their hearts. No fear of God in their hearts. There are some up there that still do, but they're way outnumbered. The majority of our justice system is selfishness and greed and power. Greed and power. And you call it what you want to, that's what I call it. And I call it like I see it. And the Bible says to declare a thing as it is. Not what you want it to be, not what you think it ought to be, not what everybody else says it is, but as it is. And that's as it is, brothers and sisters. It causes a land's justice system to be right and fair. Fear of the Lord. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. What else? How does the scriptures define fear of the Lord? Well, it is a choice before all individuals, families, and nations, and is deadly to refuse. What is fear of the Lord? It's a choice. You choose to fear God. You choose. Now, there will be a time that people are going to fear God. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. I don't believe there's going to be that many that's going to need to be kicked in the back of the knees to bow before Jesus Christ when they lay their eyes upon him, when they see him as he is. I don't believe there's going to be that many people, but there might be. There might be. People, you know, it says that the Lord said when people are getting cast into the lake of fire that they have to be bound hand and feet. And I often wondered about that. Why would you bound, I mean, mighty angels that excel in strength, and the Lord condemns them and sentences, they're already condemned, but sentences them to the lake of fire, and when they grab them up and take them to go throw them in the lake, and they cast them in the lake of fire, but it says they bind them hand and feet. Wonder why. Only thing I can figure is that they don't want to go. And they have to bind them up because they fight the whole way until they're thrown over the edge. The fear of the Lord is a choice. It's a choice before all individuals, families, nations, and anybody that denies it. It's deadly to refuse. You can see that in society. You can see that in individualism. You can see that in family. You can see it. You can see it. You can see it. A family that fears the Lord is completely different than a family that does not fear God. A family of atheists, a bunch of family of idiots and fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's a choice for all individuals. You, me, everybody else makes a choice whether you're going to fear God or not and whether you fear God or not. Every family, man, woman, and child together in a family either fears God as a family or either does not fear God as a family. Nations either fear God as a nation or they do not fear God as a nation. And to deny it and refuse it is deadly. And we've seen that. We've seen that. That's the definition in the scriptures of fear of the Lord. Is that it's on a volunteer basis. It's a choice for individuals, families, and nations. The Bible says, let's see some scripture on that. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 25 through 33, listen to this. But ye have set it not all my counsel, this is God talking, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Describing America, ain't it? Wonder where all this stuff's coming from. Well, let's read on. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, and they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and will be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Does it get any more defined and plain than that? I mean, everybody talking about how confusing the Bible is and how it can't be understood. A 5-year-old could tell you the definition of what I just read. I could read that to a 5-year-old and ask them, what does that mean? And they could tell you. They could tell you. It's a choice. It's a choice. Used to, I'd say two generations ago, there was no such thing as a child that did not fear God. Maybe three generations ago. When I was a teenager back in the 60s, 70s, there was no such thing as a child and even a teenager that did not fear God. The fear of the Lord was in society. It was in the parking lot at the grocery store. It was in the transactions of business. It was in the government and the respect people had for one another, no matter what left or right you was on. It was there, the fear of the Lord. And as far as a nation goes, every nation in this world feared America and respected America. Why? Because the fear of the Lord was here. See any changes? A definition of fear of the Lord in the Scriptures is it is a choice before all individuals, families, and nations, and is deadly to refuse. That's a definition in the Scriptures of fear of the Lord. You say, what is fear of the Lord? There you go. There you go. It's a choice. What else? It's to be learned by all and protects those that do, both spiritually and physically. It's to be learned. You say the fear of the Lord is something that you learn? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is to be learned by all and protects those that do learn it and receive it, both spiritually and physically. That's a definition in the Scriptures of fear of the Lord. Listen to this in Psalms chapter 34, verse 6 through 11. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. A definition of fear of the Lord. It's something to be learned by all and protects those that do learn it and welcome it. It protects them both spiritually and physically. And it does, doesn't it, brother and sister? Don't you believe because of the way that you feel about God and the way that you choose to fear God and honor Him and respect Him, that it brings goodness in your life and protection in your life and the good things of life? No matter what kind of trials we go through and all that sort of business as far as walking for the Lord and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Word of God. Not all of that. That goes to be said as a child of God. But I'm talking about just in general as far as fearing God Himself and loving Him and giving Him His place and His majesty in your mind and in your heart. Doesn't it protect you? Doesn't it protect you both spiritually and physically? It sure does. It sure does. Any Christian that's telling the truth would have to answer yes to that. Yes, it does. The Scripture is true. The definition is true. Fearing God and learning the fear of the Lord and allowing God the Holy Ghost to teach you the fear of the Lord from the Scriptures like you're doing right now protects you both spiritually and physically. What else? Well, defining the fear of the Lord. We're talking about the fear of the Lord. Our study is about fear and fear of the Lord. Another definition of fear of the Lord is something that has to be understood, and the way to achieve this understanding is by God's Word. A definition of fear of the Lord is that it is something that has to be understood. And the way to achieve this understanding and get understanding of fear of the Lord is by the Word of God, is by God's Word. And we know that. That's why we're studying it. That's why we read scriptures to illustrate and define and prove what we're talking about. For instance, in this right here, what we're talking about. It is something that has to be understood, and the way to achieve this understanding is by God's Word. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. Let's see if that's what God's Word says. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Well, what comes out of the Lord's mouth? The Lord's words. And he was so kind and gracious to have given us a copy of it. And we have it in our hands in front of us that we can touch, hold, read, love, understand, and get the knowledge of the God, get the knowledge of God, and understand and fear the Lord. We get understanding, and a definition of understanding is that fear of the Lord is something that has to be understood. And the only way to understood it, the only way to understand it, and the way to achieve the understanding that's necessary to understand fear of the Lord is by God's Word. By God's Word. You're not going to get it reading People's Magazine or Rolling Stones or any of these 230 other versions of the Bible that knock out all of the cross references to the scriptures and confuse the scriptures greatly. That's a bad thing they've done with them other versions, knocking out all of the cross references where it just confuses the Word of God altogether, and God the Holy Ghost can't make no sense to nobody out of it because it's all messed up because man has put his words in there rather and just messed everything up rather than God the Holy Ghost having preserved his Word in that King James Bible. That's why you ought to stay with it. And you ought to not even let it be a question in your mind. God the Holy Ghost doesn't teach one man one thing and teach another man another thing that's contrary to the truth that he taught one other person. He teaches the truth the same to everybody. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the truth, the Bible says you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. God's not going to teach me what the Bible is and where I can find the preserved Word of God and then turn around and teach you something different. And them be different things, not the same. You see what I'm saying? That's confusion. And our Bible tells us God is not the author. What's an author? Somebody that puts his words in a book. God is not the author of confusion. Defining fear of the Lord. It's something that has to be understood, and the way to achieve it, the way to achieve the understanding of fear of the Lord is by God's Word. Well, Psalm chapter 112 and verse 1, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. Do you know anybody that fears God that hates the Word of God? Do you know anybody that fears the Lord that despises the Word of God? I don't either. I don't know anybody that feared, that has the fear of the Lord in their life or in their heart or in their mind or fears God that hates God's Word or despises God's Word or manipulates God's Word. The Lord told us plainly, leave my words alone. Don't touch them, don't change them, don't add to them, and don't take away from them. He told you that. Just don't let it be you. I wouldn't want to stand before the Lord for that. Not for that. Not for that, and I'm not going to. I know what the Word of God is. Do you? I know where to find it. I've got a copy. I've got several copies. And I know it's God's Word. And I know it's inspired. And I know it's preserved. And I know it lives. Defining the fear of the Lord. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the fear of the Lord. And we're scripturally defining the fear of the Lord. It's to hate the things that God hates. It provides one's life and protection needed to escape from what would kill him, and rather brings him out victorious. It is not and does not yield to uncleanness. It is where one begins to enter into knowledge and wisdom. It's where knowledge and wisdom begins. What is the fear of the Lord? That's the way the Bible describes or defines fear of the Lord. It's where somebody enters into knowledge and wisdom. That's where you go through the threshold. It helps one to avoid bad consequences. It causes one enemy to respect and leave you alone. Leave them alone. That's what Jesus told all them people that was hounding on that woman that time. Leave her alone. Remember that? It causes a land's justice system to be right and fair. Definitions of fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. It's a choice before all individuals, families, and nations, and is deadly to refuse. It's something to be learned by all and protects those that do learn it, both spiritually and physically. And it's something that has to be understood. And the way to achieve the understanding is by God's Word. God's holy, wonderful, living, abiding forever Word. Inerrant, without error, Word. What else? Well, here's another definition of fear of the Lord. It is a treasure to those that have it. But not like the world's treasures. Amen? It is, isn't it? Well, does the Bible define it that way? Does God's Word define it that way? Well, let's see. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. It's a treasure. Better is the fear of the Lord. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. The fear of the Lord is a treasure to us, isn't it? Would you trade the fear of the Lord for anything? And if you could have anything you wanted or wished for in your life and could just say so, but you had to trade the fear of the Lord for it and the fear of the Lord disappear out of your life, to have what you want to trade for it, would you trade? Not me, brother. Not me. You trade, not me. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord is a treasure, brothers and sisters. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. It watches out for you. It watches out for your life. It tends to your life. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. It's a treasure to those that have it. But it's not like the world's treasures. That's a definition of fear of the Lord from the Scriptures. It's a treasure to those that have it. What else? Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And that's not prosperity gospel that the Scriptures are defining right there. That means whatever you have, if you are humble and you fear God, whatever you have will be rich to you. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. But humility and the fear, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You die with those three things in your life, you're going to die a happy person and go to be with the Lord. What else? Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Defining the fear of the Lord. Defining fear of the Lord. It is a treasure to those that have it, but not like the world's treasures. I've tried to have some of the world's treasures, and they didn't end up being treasures. The Lord's given me some things that are treasures. Some of them are even unseen. Some of them are by faith. Some of them are literal. Some of them are tangible. But the fear of the Lord, it is a treasure to those that have it. What else is a definition scripturally defined by the Scriptures of fear of the Lord? Well, it causes one to stop doing wrong. Yeah. If you say that you fear God, there ought to be something thumping on your heart when you make wrong decisions knowingly and purposely, and know that you make wrong decisions against the Lord. In other words, it keeps us from doing wrong. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6, the Bible says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I've been around a lot of troubled men, and I've even ran a troubled men's ministry and been responsible for it before the Lord. And I've learned a lot about troubled men, being one myself. But one thing that troubled men, that tells the truth about a troubled man, I used to tell the judges, yeah, well, go ahead and send him. We'd be talking about whether the judge wanted to send somebody to the ministry or not, and let him out of jail and let him come to the ministry. And I said, well, go ahead, if you want to, just go ahead and send him. I said, when he gets here, God's word is going to call his bluff. We're going to find out if the fear of the Lord's in him or not. God's word will call your bluff. It will, won't it? It will. God's word will call your bluff. The Bible says by mercy and truth. By mercy and truth. Not lies. Not deceit. Not falsehoods. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged. It didn't say there was not iniquity. It says it's purged. That's how you get, you purge iniquity. How? By mercy and truth. What else? And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That's why one of my mentors, he had a saying, and I didn't think about it much, but he said it so much that it became, you hear somebody say something, and then you start thinking about it, and you start wondering whether it's true or not, because they say it so much. And then you examine it, and you study it, and then if it's right, you keep it to yourself. One thing he used to say all the time is, we'll see. We'll see. And I thought about that thing and thought about that thing, and I said, you know something, when it comes to troubled men and it comes to saying you're going to do something and saying you're going to do this and saying you're going to do that, and not just troubled men, but you and me, brothers and sisters, and anybody else in this world that's living and breathing. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Yeah, I fear God. Yeah, I fear God. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Because a definition, a scriptural definition of fear of the Lord is that it causes one to stop doing wrong. Then say you had to, you didn't battle with it, and the sins that so easily beset us, we don't make excuses for the sins that so easily beset us. We feel like garbage when we commit them. And we don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. That's how we feel about it. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I don't want to be a sinner anymore, Lord. I don't want to battle with this anymore. It's driving me nuts. Paul said that. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So when I would do good, evil is present with me. But of that which I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do. Paul had that problem, just like all the rest of us. But it causes you to stop doing wrong. The fear of the Lord, one definition of the fear of the Lord is you can find out whether somebody fears God or not, and that is whether they're battling with their wrongs. Not that they're committing them now and then and sin that so easily besets you and giving you trouble and they're fighting and fighting and fighting, but they're fighting. They fear the Lord. And because they fear the Lord, it makes them want to stop doing wrong. That's a definition, a scriptural definition of fear of the Lord. It's fear of the Lord, something else, isn't it? What else? Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17 says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. That's good stuff, isn't it? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20. The Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. You see, fearing God causes us to do right. And when we do right, we depart from evil. And we do not do wrong. We stop doing wrong. The highway of the upright, the way you know you're going down the right highway, the right path, the highway of the upright is what? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. The way you know you're going in the right direction is that you know you're going away from the wrong direction. The fear of the Lord, it causes one to stop doing wrong. Amen. That is good stuff, isn't it? Isn't the fear of the Lord a treasure, brothers and sisters? Yes, it is. You ought to have joy in your heart right now hearing this stuff. Man, people that don't fear the Lord, this stuff will make them go bang their head against a wall. That's the difference. We'll see. That's the difference. Well, there's plenty more. We got more to go over. We got more to talk about concerning the scriptural definition of fear of the Lord. But I think what we're going to do is go ahead and stop right there. I've enjoyed this quite a bit, haven't you? I love talking about the fear of the Lord. I love talking about the Lord. I love talking about His Word and love finding out His Word validating truths for me and helping me to understand and have knowledge and wisdom concerning His Word. Don't you? I do. I do. All right. So what have we talked about today? Well, we began again discussing scriptural definitions of fear of the Lord. And the ones we went over today is that it causes justice systems to be right and fair. It is a choice before all individuals, families, and nations, and is deadly to refuse. Talking about the fear of the Lord. It is to be learned by all and protects those that do learn it, both spiritually and physically. It is something that has to be understood, and the way to achieve this understanding is by God's words. So God's words are very close and intertwined with fear of the Lord. Somebody that hates God's words is going to have a problem with fearing God. Somebody that despises God's word or uses God's word for monetary reasons rather than honoring His word, gonna have a problem with fearing God. It's a treasure to those that have it, but not like the world's treasures. It causes one to stop doing wrong. It causes one to stop doing wrong. All right, well, let me give you the scriptures for today and we'll stop. We'll stop today, and then we'll come back on our next one, on the next one. Here's the scriptures. 2 Chronicles, chapter 19. And I'll tell you what, I didn't give you the scriptures from the last one. Let me back up, and I'll give you the scriptures from the last lesson all the way up till right now, finishing right now. We began our first lesson, last one, when we was cut off, talking about scripturally defining the fear of the Lord. So I can give you all the scriptures from the beginning. Let's go ahead and do that. Here they are. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. This is from the last lesson. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11 through 15. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. Psalm chapter 19, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs chapter, oh, I just told you that, 9, verse 10. Job chapter 28, verse 28. Psalm chapter 111, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 7. And the last scripture for the last lesson is 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. Now, here are the scriptures for today's lesson. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 5 through 9. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 25 through 33. Psalm chapter 34, verse 6 through 11. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1 through 6. Psalm chapter 112, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. No, excuse me. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6. There we go. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. And Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. And there's where we're stopping for today's lesson. Sorry for the confusion there for a minute. If you're dealing with me, you're lucky to get by on one confusion per lesson. Anyway, praise our Lord and His Word and His wonderful, wonderful name. God bless you for studying God's Word, brothers and sisters. Don't underestimate the importance of studying God's Word. This little old hour is 52 minutes now we've been sitting here and talking about God's Word, and every single bit of what we've studied has been absolutely worth it, hasn't it? Yes, it has. Yes, it has. If you can tolerate me for 52 seconds, you're going to get a blessing out of it. Anyway, but I love you with Christ's love, and thank you for studying God's Word, and let's just finish right. Let's finish right. Let's just go ahead and love the Lord now and forever, but finish up in this body and finish up in this life and what the Lord has us doing right now, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's finish right. Let's finish right. Let's finish studying and admiring Him and glorying in Him and just trusting Him and giving Him the place in our life and not the stinking world and not the flesh and not the devil. And let's fight about it. Let's just fight on, brother. Fight on. Amen. There's your scriptures. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one. And we'll continue with this scripturally defining fear of the Lord. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.